today,
this evening, we will see revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus as he sees us in himself. We are edified because he is glorified in our midst. Today, I minister and receive in this service alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are discussing on a topic we started 6 weeks ago. It is the sixth section of when we are gathered. Hallelujah. Look, many of us, the reason for this teaching is to lay emphasis on the believer's gathering. And also, majorly, and then the Holy Ghost meeting. Hallelujah. So it's actually on the believer's gathering. I know we have several teachings on that. Amen. Somebody was telling me that that was some few days back that he has discovered. I told the person I'm going to fault his discovery. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to fault it consciously. I'm going to fault it. As far as my role in the body of Christ is to lay emphasis only on local churches. I said, is that your doctrine? This guy. Because I said, it's because you've not been listening to us. We have teachings on pneumaticals, right? Right? Amen? Pneumaticals. He said, no, you just look at how you now coined spiritual growth and put it in the local church. Everything just local church. You have to like that false. And it's not hard. Hallelujah. Because if you listen to us, it is God that will teach us the scripture. Hallelujah. Now, though we're looking at the local church, Holy Ghost meeting, but there's an emphasis on the believer's gathering. I know we have teachings on that. Local church and me. We have identifying the church and things like that. But this is just to draw attention again to the same things that we've always been learning, right? When we are gathered. Many people, the reason why they treat the gathering of believers the way they treat it is because they've not been taught well. Hallelujah. They've not been taught well. I believe so. People have not been taught well. More emphasis have been on other things, right? So they've not been taught where the emphasis on the local church. Hallelujah. That's why somebody, I blocked a contact today on my WhatsApp, a young guy said, I can't even remember when last I went to church. And you are confident to say it online. Just laugh. Because you still have not been played. Matthew 28. All verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Mark, take note of this word, I am with you. Right? And the emphasis of go make disciples. In Mark 16, from verse 16, and he came to them and said, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. So they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Father had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord working with them, and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24. Now, in that mark what he said to them, the Lord working with them. Mark that. He told them, go preach the gospel, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You see that? What? And that says, the Lord walking with them. In Matthew, we saw that as what? Lo, I am with you. Hope you're following that. Amen. Amen. Now look at Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 65. Then, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He says, and thus is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He says, and ye are witnesses of this thing. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, and ye are witnesses of this. Look at John. Okay. Let's see John. John 20, 22. And when he had said this, says, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, whosoever sins ye forgive, I forgive them. And whosoever ye retain, I retain. Hallelujah. The word sins in the retaining part is italicized. It's not actually the original. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this together. We said this would be Jesus' instructions to them, right? When he resurrected, within the 40 days, he gave them these instructions, right? Now, we now said these instructions will make them his evangelists, right? These instructions make them his evangelists, his evangels. And his evangels will be evangelists to the whole world, right? Right? Irrespective of race, irrespective of type, irrespective of people. Hallelujah. Now, I really need to get to what we need to get to, because we didn't complete what we had last week. Hope you know that. So we have to be fast. Hallelujah. So when it says make disciples, right? When it says lo, I'm with you, the Lord walking with them will be a fact of the believer. The believer will have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Now when it says make disciples, which is in the background, is the gathering, right? Is the gathering, a physical gathering. So because the use of the word matitio is how you enroll somebody into a school. So that means what was said that was not written will be a gathering. Hallelujah. And we saw it all true. The moment Jesus left them in Acts of Apostles chapter 1, from verse 14, what did they do? They said, the Bible says they were together in one accord. You see that? They didn't scatter. He said, hey, on your way, or on my way, to say, Lord, nobody went anywhere. Hallelujah. We're all together. And we said, where did they get that narrative from? Where did Jesus get that narrative from? From the Old Testament book. Right? Right? Because everything they did, Jesus taught them from the Old Testament book. Which narrative? Moses, when he led the children out of Egypt. Hallelujah. When he led them out of Egypt, Egypt will be the world. Right? Egypt will be darkness, right? Hallelujah. Egypt will symbolize darkness, the world, unbelief. So they left Egypt, right? That will be how God will lead us out of sin, out of darkness. Now, where did they find themselves? In the wilderness, right? In the wilderness, he said the wilderness will symbolize our walk in the world today, right? That is how the writers of scriptures will use the word the wilderness to symbolize how we should walk in the world today. And how should we walk in the world? 1 Corinthians 10. We should walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. How are we going to walk in the Spirit? That was how they were supposed to walk. But the Bible says, with them God was not pleased. Why? Because of unbelief. Right? Hallelujah. So we should walk in the Spirit in the world today. Hallelujah. But take note of what happened when they came into the wilderness. You know, it was not everybody, hey, we have entered, we have left it, everybody find your way. No! They were together. And in Acts of Apostles chapter 7, Stephen will say the church in the wilderness. Listen to that. That's the narrative. They were gathered together in the wilderness. So as soon as Jesus left their sight physically, what happened? They were together. Hallelujah. They were together in one place, in one accord. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 14 into 16. Acts of Apostles 2. They were in one place in one accord. Acts of Apostles 2. Acts of Apostles 2 verse 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. They all continued. You see that? The 3,000 men that were saved were added to the church. You see that?
in one accord. They all continue in the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42. Okay, follow me. So there is, I told us that everything that was done in the book of Acts was done in the local church, with the local church. There was no individual whatever at all. Acts 2, hallelujah. Acts 3, Peter and John went into the synagogue. Hallelujah. In the hour of prayer, they sent to pray. Hallelujah. That means they had time, so they gathered to pray. They did things together. In Acts 4, when they flogged them and told them not to preach in the name of Jesus again, what did they do? They went to their own company. You see that? Togetherness. Acts 5, they grew. Did you see that? Acts 6, they were together. Acts 6, hallelujah. We give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. They were together. Hallelujah. They chose 7 men together. And what did they do? The Bible says in verse 8, the word grew. Amen. So Philip went down to Samaria, and Samaria received the word. When you say Samaria received the word, that means there was a church started in Samaria. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Acts 9, Saul was going to Damascus. That is, there was a church already in Damascus. Don't be following me. Glory to God. Acts 10, in the house of Cornelius. Don't be following the whole trend. Amen? Church. The local church. Glory to God. Acts 11 was a questioning session. But in Acts 11 also, we now find out. Okay, Acts 9. Keep Acts 9. We saw the conversion of Saul, right? On the way to Damascus. In Acts 11, we began to hear the word went down to Antioch. Hallelujah. By Acts 13, Paul was to be commissioned with Barnabas. Was it in the Garden of Believers? In the Garden of Believers. Listen, that all that God did, he did within the garden. Amen? So the garden is an instruction. Now, why do we gather? What did Jesus speak about the gathering? In Matthew chapter 18, he spoke about Matthew 18:20. He said, when two or three, make sure you're opening your Bibles. Matthew 18:20. Are you there? He said, for when two or three are gathered together in my name. You know, Jesus is speaking. He's talking about, he started from when Matthew got an erring brother. He then gets to where two or three are gathered together in my name. Say, there am I in the midst of them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. There am I in the midst of them. So when he says gathered in my name, we mean they are gathered in his authority. Hallelujah. Is that the local church? That is the local church. We're gathered in my name. Now, before he spoke about that physical local church, he spoke in chapter 16 concerning his church. I will build my church, right? And what is referring to the resurrection. So that means the physical gathering is as a result of what has happened to us in the spirit. Because when we get born again, we are called his church, not individually, but our gathering in Christ in the new birth is called church. That gathering all of us together. Someone call it the ecclesia body. Anyone, how you want to put it? All of us together, we are all called the church of Christ. Hallelujah. Every believer together in him is called the church. He is the caliphate. He is the head. Ephesians 1:22. He is the head. Hallelujah. We are members of his body. Okay, follow me. So we are called church. So that church will now produce what we call the local church, where we gather together. Okay, following me? Where we are gathered together like this. Hallelujah. They say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. So that means the believers gathering, in the gathering of believers, God is there. Did you see that? Amen? God is there. God is in the midst of his children when they are gathered. Not in their midst. He's also in their midst, but he is with them. So that means every believer's gathering is an encounter. Every believer's gathering. Don't say it's just prayer meeting we are going for. No! Every believers got to this an encounter. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. An encounter. I'm going to break my notes from where we stopped last week, and then I'm going to take on something that I felt led to ask something else to teach today.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to take a dimension different from my notes and get back to my notes maybe some other time.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. So, there's a physical gathering. Hallelujah. Physical gathering. And it says, God is in their midst. God is in our midst. Hallelujah. God is in our midst. Say, God is in our midst. Say, God is here. So you can make the believer every gathering an encounter. I told someone, I said, you don't need hands to be laid on you before you receive the supernatural in the believer's blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. While the pastor is here teaching, while the pastor is here talking, the sick can be healed. Amen. The blind can see. It happened to Jesus. Jesus was teaching. Hallelujah. While Jesus was still teaching, demons were crying. But just talking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because the believer's gathering is an encounter. It's an encounter. I shared with us about the story of Pastor Shelby. Right? He was teaching and he didn't want to lay hands on anybody. But he sister came to church and without strong conviction, the pastor will lay hands on me and I'll be healed. And the pastor came to just sit and go. So while he was teaching, he just touched this sister like this. Not because he wanted to, but he was explaining and just rested. You know how you rest after teaching. You know, and the sister just took a hold of him. She got Jesus and then healed. She knew. Hallelujah. And she was healed. The believer's meeting can be like that. What are you? So that means I come to church with an expectation. Hallelujah. Don't say I'm going to church. I'm just going to church just today. Sunday. No, don't have that kind of mindset. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist will say, I was glad, Psalm 122, when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I know it's going to be an encounter. Hallelujah. So he calls that gathering the house of the Lord. Let's see how Paul will call it too. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, he said, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. He says, let's look at that. 1 Timothy 3. Let me not keep my word. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3, 16. He says, He says, I tell you that every man knows how to behave thyself in the house of God. He calls it the church of the living God. Did you see that? He calls the church the house of God. Hallelujah. The garden of believers is called God's house. God's tabernacle. Hallelujah. So that means when we are gathered together, God tabernacles in our midst. Hope you are hearing me. God is in our midst. Remember, when a man is born again, listen, look up. When a man is born again, what happens? He is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? His body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul calls our gathering together the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Amen. He calls it the temple of the Holy Ghost. Very vital you need to see. So that means, as a believer, because I know God is in the gathering of believers, I must treat the believer's gathering as sacred, as holy. I must treat it. I must see it as that. Hallelujah. I must see it as that and treat it that way. That's it. We say we have five kinds of believers meeting from scriptures, right? Right? Glory to God. Amen. I remember some years back, I was like last year. I'm trying to picture the year. Year last year or last year. Someone was telling me, they have anointing service in scripture. They said, show me where it is in scripture that then they call anointing service. Yeah, nothing like that. We have five kinds of believers meeting or five kinds of meetings in scripture. One, we have the teaching meeting, right? The teaching meeting is a primary meeting of believers. Primary meeting of believers where the word of God is given first place, is taught. The word of God is taught. I've explained all this now. We have the prayer meeting. We come to pray. We have the evangelistical meeting. Now, I told us But hear the word evangelistical meeting. Don't say it's not for, it's only evangelists. Because we've seen it last week and last 2 weeks, right? That an evangelist is not a, I've always told us that, in fact, I was listening to Believers Convention last 2 years. Not this year, but last 2 years. Believers Convention. We did that at Okeji Cruise. I've listened to it before coming to church. And I discovered that what I'm teaching us on evangelism, I said it in that teaching. And I'm like, wow, I said it is functionality. Amen? We hear the word evangelism, functionality. It's not a person. Amen? It's not a person. It's functionality. Hallelujah. It's functionality. So it's not person. So when Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, he's not saying Timothy is an evangelist. No, do the work of an evangelist. Did you see that? So what will be the work of an evangelist to the church at Ephesus? Ephesians 11, 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. So those five or those ministerial offices you saw there, pastors, prophets, somebody says, that you're supposed to be apostle first. It's not in any order. Amen. It's apostles. The apostles is the head of the church. What do you mean by that? Amen. So the apostles, it says, no, apostles is the head of the church. You want me to talk? See, we've seen that. Eh? Who actually is? Eh? Pastor. You are following. Hallelujah, pastor. The apostles have to also submit to the pastor. James, right? Actually, so we saw that. Okay. Now you're following. Hallelujah. So, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, they are not actually persons. Don't see them as persons first. See them as what? Functions first. It will help your Bible study as functionality. Hallelujah. So when it tells Timothy do the work of an evangelist, it shows it an what is a functionality. Hallelujah. Towards who? The perfecting of the saints. So that means we'll find the work of an evangelist towards believers, right? We now saw another person called to do the work of an evangelist is who? Philip. Right? And he was told, he's called Philip the Evangel or the Evangelist, the same way Agabus was called a prophet. Now, Agabus was not called a prophet because he was, no. He was called a prophet because of what he said in Acts 11. Right? In Acts 11, you didn't hear prophet Agabus, no. Was called Agabus. One of them, called Agabus, spoke by the Spirit what will happen. Right? By the Spirit, he spoke. That means the prophet is known by what he said. Right? He spoke by the Spirit. So when reference was now made again to Agabus in chapter 21, it was made with reference to what he had said in chapter 11. The same thing too for Philip. Philip is now called the evangelist in chapter 21 because of what he did in chapter 8. What did he do in chapter 8? He took the gospel to the Samaritans. What are you following me? So that means, they'll find the work of an evangelist, one, towards believers, and true believers to who? The unsaved. Hallelujah. So when a believer goes out for evangelism, he is acting as an evangelist. What are you following me? It's a function. What are following me? Amen? Amen? The same way to Paul, who now called the believer that gives a tongue and interprets, he now calls him a prophet. Why is he called a prophet? The moment you are giving tongues and giving interpretation, you are functioning you are functioning as a prophet. Amen? What are following me? It's a functionality. Glory to God. Don't worry, we'll deal with all this in pneumaticals. That should be not next series. Next series we might not get there. Amen. But they are building blocks to get in there. Glory to God. What are you following me? Okay. So we have the evangelistical meeting, and then we have the healing meeting, which can be seen in the evangelistical meeting.
in the teaching meeting, in the prayer meeting, right? We can have healing in all these meetings. And also we have the Holy Ghost meeting. We have the Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting. And that is where we are dwelling on. When we are gathered, the Holy Ghost meeting. So we say in the Holy Ghost meeting, I'm going to take it in two dimensions today. I'll break my notes and come back to it. In the Holy Ghost meeting, we say the Holy Ghost meeting is our town hall meeting. I didn't say anointing service, I say Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Well, I'll have time again to talk about anointing oil soon. We have that teaching now, right? The anointing and the anointing. Was that the teaching? Huh? I thought it was anointing oil. The anointing oil, you say, right? The anointing oil. So our final will teach us about anointing oil again. So some people drink anointing oil. They say, but it used to work. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, you know, when people drink anointing oil, that seems to surprise me. Because the first time anointing oil was used, anointing oil was not used, was not in, it was a culture in their world. Amen. Anointing oil, usage of oil was a culture in their world. What are you hearing me? So, the first time you find an oil used to anoint a place was used by Jacob. And Jacob did not use the oil to put that place, to show that, did not put the oil there to make that place holy. No. The oil didn't make the place holy. No. Jacob saw a vision, right, of God. And he said, this place is sacred. So, he now used the oil to show that this place actually sacred. So the sacredness was not because of the oil. The place was already sacred before the oil. Hallelujah. Okay, well, lady. Something like that. Hallelujah. That's what that is. So you know, find that is how anointing or to anoint a place was not being used. The anointing or anointing a place does not show, I mean does not mean that the oil that was smeared on the place made the place anointed or sacred. No, there was already a sacredness before the oil was also used to demonstrate, oh, this is marked out. Okay, I follow you. So it was a culture in their day. That today people will now start drinking. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Say the oil is now anointed. What is about the oil is not anointed? What is anointed? Very important.
Hallelujah. Well, that's what is going
on. Get the other one. Hallelujah. Hope you're with me. So that's it. In the Holy Ghost meeting, it says our believer town hall meeting, right? Where we take of what we have within upon.
We take of what?
We take of what we have within upon, right? And what does that mean? It means that the gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration. The needs of everyone is met, and we all leap through the door with joy. Hallelujah. We all live through the door with joy. So we are taking it one after the other. Amen. So we're going to be fast on this. Glory to God. We live through the door with joy. Now, we said in the Holy Ghost meeting, the gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration. In full demonstration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are full of joy. Glory to God.
will take of what we have within or upon. Let's look at that. When we say we take of what we have within or upon, let's see that a bit. Let's just dwell there a bit. We take of what we have within or upon. So what do we have within? What do we have within? The Spirit of God, right? Right? We have the Spirit of God within. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. So we will receive, not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. So we have the Holy Ghost, right? John 14, 16. I will pray the Father and will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So that means the Holy Ghost is forever. Amen. I say this like this. The Holy Ghost does not go on vacation. He's in me forever. Hallelujah. So we have the Holy Ghost. We are supposed to receive within, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the gift of God. Take it like that. The Holy Ghost is God's gift to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So something we now said last week. Okay, the Holy Ghost is God's gift. Look at Romans 11:29. We were here last week. Romans 11:29. It says, verse 29. It says, for the gift, that word S there, gift, is not actually gift. It's actually the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. Without repentance there means they are irrevocable. God doesn't revoke his gift. That is to say, the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God to us, is irrevocable. God doesn't revoke. God says, Apostle Tim Bastos have messed up. Oh yeah, let's call back our Holy Ghost. No. Yeah? No. The Holy Ghost is irrevocable. It's in you forever. That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, something I told us last week is that the Holy Ghost didn't just come. He came with his gift. We saw that, right? He came with his gift. He came with his gift. Hallelujah. He came with his gift. So, let's see how Paul puts the gift. Hallelujah. He came with his gift. Let's see how Paul puts it. In 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see. In 1 Corinthians 12. Look at what Paul says. Paul now says to them, verse 1, he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You see that? Now, some people can argue, the word gift there is italicized, it's not there. Now, look at what he spoke about later. He was talking about the gift, right? So he said, concerning spiritual, that's what pneumaticals. Concerning spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now let's stop a bit and look at what Paul said concerning the word pneumaticals before now. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, when he says in verses 12, I mean 1 Corinthians 2, 12, where he says, we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know those things that are freely given to us of God. Say, which things we speak? Not in the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. He says, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now, what does he call spiritual, and what does he call spiritual? He says spiritual with spiritual. Now, when you first use of the word spiritual, pneumaticals there, pneumaticals is used for things of the spirit, things in the spirit, things by the spirit. Hallelujah. Now, when it says comparing spiritual, now when you hear the word pneumaticals, look at what he has spoken about or what he has, what he's talking about concerning the spirit. Now, what does he say concerning who have received the spirit? Right? A man first contact with the spirit in verse 4. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. Demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Apodexis. So that means in the preaching of the word, he will have the spirit of God in demonstration. So that means he calls the word spiritual, and he calls the man that receives the spirit in the new birth spiritual. So when he says comparing spiritual with spiritual, he's referring to both the information in the spirit and the man that has received the information of the spirit, he calls spiritual. What are you following me? So Paul uses spiritual for the man in the spirit, or the man who is born again, and for the information in the spirit. That is why when you get to chapter 10, and he's talking about our fathers all passed through the clouds and through the sea, they were baptized. He's made mention of the drink of that spiritual rock. Now, what does he mean? Why would he use the word spiritual rock? But we saw that they didn't drink any physical water. I mean, yeah, they drank water from the rock, right? But that's the rock that followed them. No rock followed them all about, only four rocks somewhere. But when it talked about, you have to go back and see how did he use the word pneumaticos, spiritual. We've seen use it for information and for persons. So that means when he talked about spiritual rock that followed them, was talking about the information concerning the person of Christ that was with them all through the wilderness. Okay, follow me. Amen. So Paul will use the word pneumaticos for information of the Spirit, which is the gospel, and also for the man who receives the information of the Spirit, which is the man born again. So in chapter 2 verse 1, he now says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. Do you see that? So that means, that is supposed to be their state. Or that is their state in the Spirit, they are spiritual. But as unto carnal. Do you see that? Even as unto base. Do you hope you are following me? Hope you are following me. So that means, we are spiritual by default. Now concerning spiritual gift. That means he's talking about information or things that are in the Spirit. Right? Say, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Let's take back a bit on that. When you know the word ignorant, there is the word used for willful ignorance. I mean to say ignorance, not ignorant of the fact that they don't, that it's not the ignorance that they don't have the gift or they don't know about the gift. But the ignorance, they're talking about the ignorance of knowing about the gift, but not acting on it in the right sense. Hallelujah. Because in chapter 1 verse 7, go back to chapter 1 verse 7. 1 Corinthians 1 7. We've done all these studies in our book on Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1 7, look at what he says to them. He says that they came behind in no gift. 1 Corinthians 1 7. Look at it. He says, so far ye came behind in no gift. So that means, when he said they came behind in no gift, it means, when he answered to chapter 7, I don't want you to be ignorant because that's spiritual gift. You discover that he has said they came behind in no gift. So that means, what he's referring to as the ignorance there is not concerning whether they know about the gift of the Spirit or not. Amen. So that means the ignorance there is something else that is a willful ignorance. So, when you get to chapter 12 verse 1, when it says, now, concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Right? He was referring to something in the background to that statement will be chapter 11 verse 17. Look at chapter 11 verse 17. Let's see the background. Are you there? Then now this I declare to you, I praise you, that when you come together, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye all come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you. In part, I believe it. This is that for they must be also heresies among you, that those who approve may be manifest among you. Now, he's talking about, so that means the background there will be in their gathering. Okay, follow me. The background will be their gathering. That means in their gathering, though they are aware about spiritual gifts, but how the practice of it in the gathering is where they have issues. Okay, follow me. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Remember, I told us, that was GPLR last year, I told us that your theology must lead to Christology, right? And your Christology will Christology will always lead to what? Soteriology. And in soteriology, what you have is pneumatology, which will be found and expressed in the ecclesia, ecclesiology. Right? Right? So that means the ecclesia is the gathering of believers. That is the apex of, so that means the gift of the Spirit is going to be operational where in the gathering. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Very vital. The gifts of the Spirit are going to be operational way in the gathering. Glory to God. So let's go further a bit. So have in my notes that you need to see quickly is the fact that let's move further. Glory to God. So, we said where they have the issue was in their application of the gift, not that they didn't understand the gift. Hallelujah. But today, even if I'm to teach us today, or you could teach that ignorance, as you could also teach it for people who don't even know about the gift at all, because Paul still went ahead to lift the gift again to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it is an application that he was going to teach them. That was why in chapter 13. Remember in chapter 11, what they had was what? Divisions. Right? Paul said you came together not for the better, but for the worse. Because why we should gather should be for to strengthen ourselves to get better. But they didn't do that. Hallelujah. So they got worse. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, in chapter 13, what did Paul now say? He now narrowed it in on love. Did you see that? Chapter 13, narrowed it on love. Narrowed it on love. Something you need to see. Hallelujah. Look at what I have in my notes. I have here that the application. I mean, what was the issue was in the application. So when they came together for the wrong reason. Right? So Paul in chapter 13 will say, love is vital in my flow with the gift of the Spirit. Love becomes very vital in my flow with the gift of the Spirit. Hope you're following this. Amen. Amen. How many of you remember what I taught us last week? I said, because that was why I'm taking it in this channel. Last week I told us that where do you have all the gifts? Where do you have all the gifts? In the Spirit, right? The nine gifts of the Spirit are where? In the Spirit. And where is the Spirit? Where is the Spirit? In the believer. Hallelujah. So where is the whole gifts of the Holy Ghost? They are all in the believer. In fact, how Paul, how Moses, you know, this is, Paul is writing for Moses. Now, Paul, writing for Moses, Paul has given you an intro by saying you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You see that? And when writing for Moses, when he gets to, he has set a pace for you to read the book of Corinthians in the light of the temple. Already. That means that I'm reading the book of Corinthians, I'm reading it vis-a-vis Moses, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, following that. Majorly Exodus and where? And Leviticus. You are reading it in that light. So what happens in the temple? Remember what we read last week from Psalm? It says, in the temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Right? Everyone speaks of his glory. So his glory is what he has done. So when you get back to the temple, when you go to the temple narrative for Moses, what would you have in the temple? You would have the gift in the temple. Okay, follow me. The gift will be found where? In the temple. And where are you? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? Okay, follow me. Where would the gift be dropped? You will be dropped in the temple. So where do you have the gift of the Holy Ghost? In the temple. Who are you? I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hope you're following me. So that means the gift of the Spirit, which is called charisma. Charisma. Charis, where you find the word grace, what is freely given. Charisma means what is freely given that is your own. So that means the gift of the Spirit is actually your own. Hope you're following me. The gift of the Spirit is your own. Amen. Amen. So that means the believer is not deficient of the gift of the Spirit. The believer has the gift of the Spirit in full. But I told us last week, and I'm repeating it again, that the same way you have the gift of the Spirit in full, some people have not activated that faculty. Remember I told us that it is in us as faculty, right? Amen? It's just like a guy who got the, I told us the story of someone who was soaking garri all through his life. He was soaking garri and somebody gave him a check, but he didn't know it was a check. He just kept it under his pillow. And he kept soaking garri. Why? He didn't know that was a check. Sometimes some people have, you have things, but because you are not aware of it. I heard the story of a woman who worked so hard for a rich guy, and the rich man died. And leave one of his estates to her, and they gave her the certificate of the estate, but she didn't know. She retired to the village. The certificate of the estate, she now put it in a frame to remember the rich man, and she was suffering in the village. Right in front of her was the certificate to an estate. Some people are like that. The things of the Spirit are like that. Hallelujah. In the things of the Spirit, when you don't know, you can't act on it. That is why Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. What you don't know, you can't act on it. Hallelujah. You can't act in vain. No. What you don't know, you can't act on it. That is why you need to know. Hallelujah. You need to know. You need to know what God has done for you in Christ. And what has God done for you in Christ? That whom I know. He said, you have given us the Spirit. That whom I know, those things that are freely given to us in Christ. What are the things freely given to us? We have the Holy Ghost. We have the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, you hear me? We have the Holy Ghost. We have the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To have the gift of the Holy Ghost. So let's get back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 4. Okay, let me just run from verses 2 or verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I wouldn't have you ignorant. Therefore, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Verse 2 doesn't belong to us, you know that. Except you found idols. Verse 3. Wherefore, I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus a cause. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you say no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost, that means that your being saved is because of the Holy Ghost at work. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 4. It says there are diversities of gifts. But the same Spirit, we explained it last week.
Diversity of gifts there. Come on, what's going on? Diversity of gifts there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, diversities of gifts there will be referring to different, and that's the word in the Greek, diversity. It means different parts of the thing. Hallelujah. Different parts of the thing. So that means there are different gifts of the same Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Look at it. He said there are different, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Do you see that? The same Spirit. Just like a subset of a super, or a subset of a set. You know what that means? A subset of a set. There are all the subsets are still part of the set. Glory to God. Say, but there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God who worketh all in all. Watch that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. It then says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Now when you use the word the manifestations of the Spirit, I told us last week, you can say the manifestations of the gift of the Spirit. They are all saying the same thing, just in context of what we are teaching today. But when you say the manifestation of the Spirit, the word manifestation means, listen up here, look up here, the word manifestation means the giving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's the word in the Greek, phanerosis, to make open, to make naked, to make fully appealing. So at what point was the Spirit made fully available? At what point was the Spirit of God made fully available? In salvation. Hallelujah. In the new birth. So that means the manifestation of the Spirit in the new birth is given for our profit. So Paul has to remind them that the Holy Ghost you've received, you didn't receive it for yourself alone. You receive it for our prophecy. So the Holy Ghost you received came with the gifts. Right? Right? The Holy Ghost came with his gifts. Now he said the manifestation of the Spirit is given for everyone to profit. Now that word to profit there means it's given for our common good. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is for our common good. It's given for our common good. The gift of the Spirit is given for our common good. Hallelujah. For all to profit. For our common good. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Ah, Pete, I feel like to say something that I said last week. I feel like to say it now. I found that point, but I have to go back to this. See, there are many times I told us that the whole gift of the Spirit are in us. Right? Right? But many times, many of us have not activated that power. That is why most times when hands are laid on people, those faculties are open. Hallelujah. Not that hands are laid and people start speaking in tongues. Those faculties are activated. Hallelujah.
Very vital. Glory to God.
But it's not because hands are laid that those gifts came. Those gifts have been there. Glory to God. You just didn't activate it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
So let's get back to what we're talking about. The manifestation is given to every man to profit. To profit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So let's get back to this. To profit. That is why when you get to 1 Corinthians 14, Paul will now say, prophecy is given that the church may receive edification. We have to call that what Paul majored on in 1 Corinthians 14 was for edification. Why edification? It's because the gift of the Spirit is given for our common good. For our common good.
For our common good. I say that a whole lot. For our common good. We're going to see something soon.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Let us see if you see I wrote it.
It's our common good. Common good will mean it will edify the believers. Common good will mean it will edify the brethren. It will not create fear. Amen?
Yeah.
I could easily, as a believer, you could easily spot this is not from the Spirit of God. Anything that brings about fear is not the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? Anything that brings about fear is not the Spirit of God. Anything that brings about unbelief, doubt in your Christian faith is not the Spirit of God. Anything that brings about doubt in the knowledge of Christ that you come to know from the Scriptures is not the Spirit of God. Give to doubt. Hallelujah. Amen. It's our common good. Now, why would Paul have to do this to them? Why would Paul have to show them this? Because in the church of Corinth, they had a whole lot of fractions. Amen. Fractions. I remember going through one of our old teachings on the book of Corinth. The old one, I think the book of Corinth, the first one we did. I remember saying something like, somebody who can just come up and say, okay, no, they shame themselves. Maybe they shame themselves. Maybe they just come and just, bam, 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 bam. And I see that a whole lot of time with some people. I'm talking to my church now, so I can say something to us free. Hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah. So, when it comes to the gift of the Spirit,
the attention does not shift from God to you. Okay, follow me. The attention does not shift from God to you. Does not shift from edification of the body of Christ to you. Make sure you don't allow it to shift. You know, I've seen people who do, they call it prophetic ministry. And as much as I try as much as I can to, when it comes to the gifts of the things of the Spirit, you don't, there are some certain things you don't mock. because you will not find such manifestations around you. But at the same time, see, you must be able to know this is not the Spirit of God. How about you? You must be able to know this one. No. Amen. So people will now shift their attention to themselves. So now let me prove to you that I'm a prophet of God. Keep short. I'm talking nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Glory to God. Nobody that stays under the teaching of my word will be running around looking for prophets. That's it. Amen. Amen. I'm carrying fear around. Come on. I was sharing with you of a young guy that I was watching, very young, younger than me. Your name is Hope because of, she's Hope. Your name is Hope because you are Hope. Or this, say yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. Yes, sir. And then he now carried the mic, now put. Before they watched that, they threw the mic. As in spontaneous, they come here, you know? I just said it. I was watching it though, and I said, come back here. You have not said anything. Amen? You have shifted the attention from Christ to yourself. Hallelujah. Amen? Sometimes, some of those information that you have was not for you to even see. Now I've taught you that. Yeah? Sometimes you can have information that is not for you to see. Sometimes God will show you some information. We're going to get to Revelation gift. And I hope to dwell on that next week. Revelation gift will be next week. Hallelujah. You have to be wise. Because when you shift from God to yourself, you're no longer glorifying God. You're not glorifying yourself. Amen. Amen. You know, I can just stand now and I've done it before. Some of you that are here. Right? Amen. Amen. I just call you one by one. Come. Sister, right? I can do it again, but it's not glorifying God. Call you one by one, I come. And as everybody put camera, no, put it Facebook live. Yeah? But I'm not glorifying God. It's nonsense. Because most times you get details. Sometimes all those details are used to keep quiet. Or share with, is it in church or with some people that, Pastor Shagun was going to preach somewhere, and the Lord showed him that there will be somebody that will be sitting at a particular seat with a particular color of clothes. Then the person will come at the point of where you are teaching, the person will be the one responding. Then when you are about to run, the person will stand up and leave. And the person will meet out. Do you get it? And when he was teaching, the person was the one that said, hey, right on, sir. Ah, what? As soon as he was about to get to the main thing, the person stood up, carried his Bible and was leaving. You know, if you get some people will say, brother, come. The Lord spoke to me about you. That's why I give the person word. But when he saw that, he asked the Holy Ghost, what should I do? He said, allow him go. I'm not sure you so that you know how people are. Most times, we don't wait for details. Just jump. Bah, 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 bah. Ah. I now be shaming the person. I've been in a place before somebody was giving a prophecy. Eh? The prophecy. But you know, at the end of when the prophecy was done, it now became a gist. It became a gist inside Barak. You know what it means? The person was now living in shame. Is that God? Is that what God wanted? No. So that means, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, they are intelligent to the things of the Spirit. But you know, people go for fame. I'm warning you. Hallelujah. Before we go get there. Hallelujah. I'm warning you. People for fame. Hallelujah. Amen. May I never go for fame and lose my purpose in life. Come on. That's a problem. Amen. Amen. You must set you that from the start. So, why is the gift? Edification of the church. Right? Never miss that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Edification of who? The church. Okay. So, in verse 7, Paul said, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with them.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the other the word of knowledge, right? By the sense, now when you say to one, when you use the word to one, they all true, 1 Corinthians 2, was not referring to one person. No. What are you hearing me? Eh? Not referring to, you know, for to one. Well, I've seen people read it like that and they say, some people have this gift, some people don't have that gift. No, you are missing it. When it says for to one, he's referring, not referring to one person. I've explained this to us in pneumaticals. It's referring to what faculty. Hallelujah. One faculty is the faculty of what? Wisdom. Another faculty is the faculty of knowledge. Not to one person. We're not referring to persons then. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. So he said, for to one is given by the word of faith, by the sense of another, the gift of healing, by the sense of another, the workings of miracles, verse 10, another prophecy, another discerning of spirit, another diverse kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 11, but all this worketh that one and same sense spirit, you see, one and same sense spirit, divided to every man severally as he wills. Now, when people now have the issue is that use of the word as he wills. Now, they don't think the as he wills is as the spirit wills. No, it's as you will. That is why it was faculty. Do you understand? It's as you will. Glory to God. That is how the Greek renders it. As you will, not as the spirit wills. No. Do you see that? Working that same self-spirit, working in everyone as he wills. So that means, as you yield to it, as you activate it, you are allowing the free flow of it. Now that same word as he will not be found in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Right? And they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them offers. Hallelujah. Sorry. I missed that up. Sorry. Acts 2, but not chapter, not that. Hallelujah. Sorry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Okay. Just give me a minute. We'll get back to that. So, we'll get back to that. Okay, let's go ahead. So he says, so the as he will there will be as we will, right? As we will. Now, that means, once we are willing, right? As we are willing, we'll have that faculty in us, right? Right? Activated, and then you call the Spirit working into us. Working into us. But we receive all the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So, those gifts, those nine gifts you have there, I love what Pastor Price did. He divided it into three. Pastor Price and Kenneth Hagin. He divided those gifts into three, the utterance gift, revelation gift, and power gift. They divided it into three, right? So you have the utterance gift. Now the utterance gift, you have the tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy. That is. So they are gifts that talk. They speak. Okay, follow me. They involve speaking. Tongues, interpretations, and prophecy. Interpretation of tongues. You have revelation gift. You have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. They reveal facts of people, places, and things. They reveal facts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. You have the power gift. They do. The gift that do. The gift of healing, the workings of miracles, and faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what was Paul addressing? The church in Corinth, right? Right? And what was he addressing in them? In their gathering, right? Right? So, let's see. Paul now narrowed it in chapter 13 and 14. Look at what Paul now did in chapter 13. He now says, "Say, though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, and have not love, he said, I become like a what? Empty, like a sounding brass." Oh, do you understand me? Hallelujah. So, he said, "I become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and I have all faith that I could remove mountains. I have not love. I am nothing." Did you see that? So what is he narrowing it on? He now narrowed it into their gathering, and he narrowed it towards utterance gift. So now get to chapter 14. He now says in chapter 14. You know what says about it? He says, "Follow after charity, spiritual gift, rather that ye may prophesy." This is that prophecy. He says, "But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God." See, he narrowed it to where? Utterance gift. Why will he narrow it to utterance gift? Because each of these gifts, based on their classification, you will discover that when believers are gathered together, the most important gift is what? The utterance gift. What was what Paul said in chapter 12 verse 30? Many people misinterpret that. Look at 12 verse 30. It says, verse 31. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." So when he said covet here the best gift, and he enters chapter 13 and answered, "Do I speak with tongues?" And chapter 14, prophecy. He shows you that he was not talking about best gifts, as this one is better than this one. No. What are following this? What is calling best gift there will be relative. Relative to the circumstances. Amen? If I'm in the gathering of believers, the best gift is your trans gift. If I'm going out for evangelism, which is the best gift? The power gift. Healing. So that's why when you see Jesus went about doing good and healing all. You see that? Amen? That's why in the book of Acts, what do you find as the a gift you had more when you went out to the unsaved? Power gift. Did you see that? Peter in chapter 3, the sick was healed. You see that? Power gift. Amen. Hope you're following me. Sometimes you have revelation gifts power gifts working via the revelation and the utterance gifts. You just find it like that. But you call that it's power gift that is more eminent in the book of Acts. Why? Because you'll find the book of Acts will be the Acts of the Apostles in the world. Hope you're following me. Amen. Hope you're following that. But when they were together, when they are together as a church, you'll find what will be evident will be what? The utterance gift. That is the gifts when they are gathered. Amen? So what is utterance gift? The utterance gift is tongues, interpretations, and what? Prophecy. Tongues, interpretations, and prophecy. Amen? When we are gathered together. So Paul will now go to chapter 14. Look at what Paul said. I hope to round up soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 14, are you there? Look at verse 2, he said, "For though I speak in the tongue, I speak in an unknown tongue." I mean, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. I speak, no man understandeth. The habit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." Did you see that? Now, the man that speaks in tongues, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. Right? Right? So that means the man that speaks in tongues has one audience. Who is his audience? Who is his audience? He says, "No man understands him." When you use the word "no man," including himself, he's a man. Amen? No man including himself understands him. So that means the man that speaks in tongues has one audience. Who? Who? Okay. I want you to take out what Paul is doing here. Remember, God is addressing their gathering. Addressing their who? Gathering. I remember one day I told somebody, read Acts, 1 Corinthians 14 as their gathering. You will not have issues with a lot of things you have been pointing out. Seriously, read it in their gathering. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 3. For he that prophesieth speaketh unto men for edification and exhortation and comfort. Did you see that? When he says exhortation and edification and comfort, is that 1 Corinthians 12:7? Is that 1 Corinthians 12:7? Prophet wither. Is that it? Aha. So the man that prophesies, who is his audience? The church. Who is his audience? The man that speaks in tongues, who is his audience? God. Did you see that? So the man that prophesies has a wider audience than the man that speaks in tongues. Right? Right? Uh-huh. We are doing this together. Let's go further. Verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh the tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive a defiance. Now, stop there. I have seen people who try to maneuver this, but there's nothing there. It's just very simple. It says, I would that you all prophesy. Why? Because we are talking to people concerning the local church, their gathering. Did you see that? Their gathering. And what should happen in their gathering when we are all together? We all should what? Be edified. Common good, profit with that, right? Right? He now says that he that prophesies, remember he speaks to the education of the church, the man that speaks in tongues has his audience as God. And he says he that prophesies should do what? I mean, he wishes that everyone should prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies. Now when you use the word greater there, that word greater in the Greek is not referring to I big past you, I senior you, no. The word greater there means I have a prophecy has a wider influence, has a wider reach than tongues. So I want you to prophesy that the church, this is the reason why he says that you should prophesy, that the church will receive edification. You see that? Right? But take back, look at what he now said. He did not now throw away tongues into the street and say, tongues, get out. No. What did he now say? Look at what he said concerning tongues. He says, for whether he that speaketh, that prophesied, and he that speaks in tongues, except in interpret. That means, listen, what is he doing there? He didn't say tongues, you know, he said, now that I've spoken in tongues, I cannot interpret. You see that? Amen? So he says, prophecy is tongues plus interpretation. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. So what is prophecy? I speak in tongues, and I interpret. Did you see that? I speak in tongues, and I interpret. It's called prophecy. That the church may receive edification. You listen that? Amen. Put your hands there. We are coming back there to verse 6. Look, okay, let's look at verse 6. Say, now brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit to you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? You listen that? It says, if I come to you speaking in tongues, I say, Philemon Zaza Bodo Visa Balik in a brother here. He's just looking at me. Hallelujah. Because I have not profited you. And then I now go ahead and say, okay, this is what the Lord is saying. Right? I've given an interpretation to my tongue. Say, if not, not profited. So that means, look at what he said. He said, we can rearrange that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, but if I come to the speaking in tongues, what shall I profit except I speak to you either by revelation? That is, I can speak in tongues. So he says, except in interpret. That is, I can speak in tongues and have a revelation. Something will be revealed. I can speak in tongues, right? And there will be words of knowledge. Or I will speak in tongues and then I will have a teaching. I will speak in tongues and then I will have a prophecy. Did you see that? Hallelujah. But they will all flow from the tongues. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are getting there. Look at verse 7. It says, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known that the pipe, known what is pipe or harp? Did you see that? So he's trying to explain to you that you need tongues when it comes to the gathering. You see that? When it comes to the gathering, you must speak in tongues and give out the interpretation that the church will receive edification. Did you see that? Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Very vital. But if the same person announced in verse 16, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all.
You say, when I'm alone, I speak in tongues more than you all. Did you see that? So you are not throwing out anyone. But when I told you that the things of the Spirit has intelligence. You must walk with intelligence when it comes to the things of the Spirit. So when I'm alone, I can speak in tongues. Alone, right? Right? I have an audience with God. Right? But when I'm in the gathering of believers, I speak in tongues. I give out the interpretation. In that gathering. Do you understand me? Amen? In that gathering. Remember, he says, these are speaking in unknown tongues. Speaking not unto man but unto God. And let's go further in verse 14. It says, if I pray in an unknown tongue. You see that? That means I can pray in an unknown tongue. Amen? In the gathering. You see that? If I can pray in an unknown tongue. So if I pray in an unknown tongue, say my spirit prayer, I'm understanding is unfruitful. You see that? Hallelujah. My spirit prayer, I'm understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and sing with my understanding also. Did you see that? Hallelujah. I can pray with the Spirit and then pray out the understanding. That's what it means. I can pray in the Spirit and pray out the understanding. Pray in the Spirit and pray out the understanding. Hallelujah. Get back to verse 6. When it says, I wish that you all prophesy. For greater is it that prophesy that speak it on except he interprets. Look at verse 5. Let's get back to verse 5. I guess I skipped something. I mean verse... Sorry? Okay. Sorry. Verse 13. It says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now when it says pray that he may interpret, it does not mean... remember the use of the word pray. You have to read it in context, right? Have I told us that? Aha. It's just like reading John 14:16, and Jesus went to heaven and Jesus started to pray, oh God, give these people Holy Spirit. No. That's not what it means. You understand? The same thing here when he says pray that he may interpret, means the one that speaks in tongues can go further to interpret. It's a desire. You understand? It's a desire to speak in tongues and then you go further and you give out the interpretation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means I can pray in tongues and then pray out the interpretation. I can give a tongue and give out the interpretation. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Okay. Okay. So he said, what is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. Now, there is why he said you should sing with the Spirit in verse 16. Else, when thou bless with the Spirit, how shall he who occupy the seat of your learned say amen at the giving of thanks, see that you understand not what thou seest. Did you not see? Amen. He didn't say you should not speak in tongues at all. No. He said just speak in tongues and then you give out the interpretation. When you are speaking to men for edification. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. But can I pray with the Spirit? Look at verse 21. Okay, verse 23. It says, wherefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, that means we can come together in one place and we all speak in tongues. Hallelujah. We can come all to one place and we all speak in tongues. Hallelujah. So let's speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues. We can lay hands on them. Let's speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues. We will come together. Amen. 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 So we can come together like this and speak in tongues. Right? We can speak in tongues. Glory to God. Amen. So what he says, my understanding is unfruitful. That one you should know that. That means it says, most of you can speak in tongues and you don't know what you're saying. Right? But you can now speak out those words in your understanding. Hallelujah. Meaning there is an understanding that comes when you speak in tongues. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. Let's see something. He says they will all come to one place and not speak in tongues, right? And then come those who are unlearned or unbeliever. I will not say you are out of your mind, but if all prophesy and they come in one that believes not or one who is unlearned, will not, I mean, Learned, he is convinced of all and is judged of all. And thought the secret of his heart are made manifest. So falling down on his face, we worship and report that God is amongst you of the truth. We want to deal with this next week. We won't get to Revelation. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you has a psalm.
Did you see that?
When you come together, every one of you have a psalm. A psalm means you have a song. Hallelujah. You have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Do you know that we can rearrange this verse 26? Right?
Right?
So, how can we rearrange it? He mentions those things we can do together, those things we can do when we come. So, you know, it will not start from a psalm. How did it start? How will it start? From a tongue. Right? Is that how it's supposed to start? We read that in verse 7 or 8. I mean verse 7. Right? Do we just read that in verse 7? So it starts with a tongue. An interpretation. Right? So that interpretation is called prophecy. Right? Come on. Are you with me, 26? Have a tongue. Have an interpretation. Right? Have a revelation. We just read that in verse 26. I mean 25. So, tongues and interpretation will be a window to revelation. Right? Right? Then something is taught, a doctrine. Then a psalm. Hallelujah. So we can set out in tongues. Glory to God. And give interpretations. Hallelujah. Look at 27. This is where I want to see. Okay. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three. And that by cock, let one interpret. So by two or by three. Remember, now is another word, let one interpret. When you think one interpret, everybody will speak it. So one person will say, I have the interpretation of all your tongues. No. That one there will be that same faculty in 1 Corinthians 12. Hope you are following that. That same faculty that exists here is the one that speaks in tongues. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. So that means we can all come together. Two or three, is that gathering? Is that the gathering? Amen. So we give, so we can come together, two, three, and then one gives the tongues. Right? And give out the interpretation. We give the tongues and speak out the interpretation. Why? For edification. Did you see that? For what? Edification. For edification. So you give a tongue, then you give the interpretation. What did Paul say, what will happen? Paul will say, secrets will be revealed. Facts concerning leadings will be known. Was that what I taught you, what we are teaching? Facts concerning leadings will be known. Glory to God. Glory to God. Remember, it's our profit. It's our edification. Hallelujah. Amen. So it will not lead to fear. It will not be showcasing yourself. Hallelujah. It will be to bless the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, if there be no interpreter. Remember, the interpreter there is not one unique person that is doing all the interpretation. It's a faculty that exists in the man that preaches. That's what? That speaks in tongues, right? Right? So, I will put it like this. If he doesn't have the interpretation, right? Let him keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. So let him keep silent in the church. Does it mean, because you don't have interpretation, don't pray in tongues. Or don't talk. No, that's not what he said. That silence there is a relative silence. I've taught you that before. Hallelujah. Relative silence. If you let him keep silent and speak. Keep silent and do what? Speak. Look at it. Look at what it is. Let him keep silent in the church and let him speak. Speak to who? Himself and God. So how do you speak to yourself and God? How do you speak to God? In tongues. So that means in the Holy Ghost meeting. Remember, I said the Holy Ghost will take of what we have within upon the gift of the Spirit. Right? Right? The gift of the Spirit is in full demonstration. And we are looking at the gift when we are gathered, which is utterance. Now he says, let him keep quiet and speak to himself and God. So that means in the Holy Ghost meeting, there is no point where you should keep quiet. Like keeping quiet totally.
He says, well, you know, just speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Just do what? Speak in tongues. Speak to yourself and God. And what does he call speaking to yourself and God earlier on? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Did you see that? How do you speak to God? You just continue in tongues. Because you will get the interpretation. And then you pray, you talk out the interpretation. Hallelujah. There's no point in the Holy Ghost meeting where you are just moping. In the Holy Ghost meeting, you don't come and be looking around. No! Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost meeting, you don't need to wait in Believers Convention or CRC to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Hallelujah. You can be working with a brother. You can visit a sister. You can visit a brother. And you say, bro, let's just have a Holy Ghost meeting. Let's just have a Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. Amen. Just let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. And then you just speak in tongues and speak out the interpretation. We're going to have that much more in the coming days. Hallelujah. Where brethren will meet themselves on the road. Just 5 minutes. Bro, how are you? Fine. Why are you coming from? I went to children's school. Why are you coming from? I went to parents' school. What's going on? Nothing. Okay, let's just edify ourselves. Just 2 minutes. Let's just edify ourselves. I am just by the roadside, man to see that, but see that, okay, see about it. And then you speak out words, and you hold on to those words. Hallelujah. Amen. You receive direction. You receive strengthening. You get edified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It keeps you on track. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Don't outgrow things like that. And I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. Don't outgrow things like that. Don't outgrow it. Glory to God. In the last couple of days. No. Last couple of days into... Yeah, days into a week. You know, there's been this emphasis on, for me personally as your pastor, on going back on to some things that I used to do when I was in the university days. There's been that strong emphasis. Amen? Amen? When I was just working with friends and then we just talk God's word. Sometimes me and Tune will spend hours outside just standing on a particular, we don't do any particular spot. People are just walking, they don't know what we are doing. But we're just speaking in tongues, and then we'll just talk by the Holy Ghost. Some of the things we are doing today were things that we spoke about. Hallelujah. We didn't understand what Kenneth Hagin was doing there. But we knew that they ran under the anointing, like we'll call it then. We didn't know it was called Holy Ghost meeting. They laughed and they rejoiced. And we said we're going to have many of these in our time. How do you know what it was? Amen? But we see these things like that. When we'll be preaching, we will run. We didn't understand that it's called the Holy Ghost meeting like we know today. Hallelujah. But we did things like that. And we'll stop those things to pass today. Hallelujah. Many of the things we are doing today are things that we spoke concerning. CRC. CRC, let me give you people a shocker. CRC was not started by St. Pavilion Church. It was not started by me. I met brethren in it. And I took it up. Hallelujah. I've said this over to us several. CRC was not started by us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was started before we started ministry. So said before that. And we just picked it up. Because it was spoken by revelation. It was spoken. Hallelujah. Amen. And I said, you'll never die. You'll never die. Charismatic renewal conference. We'll strengthen men. We'll strengthen men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It was spoken ahead of time. And we spoke concerning it in just two people, just having that conversation by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So many more in the coming days. Many more in the coming days. Many more in the coming days. When you just sit down by the Holy Ghost, you know what the Spirit wants you to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. How about that? Let us turn to someone and then just flow. Just speak in tongues and give out the interpretation. Within just 4 minutes. And then we'll continue. Just speak in tongues and give out the interpretation. Verse 29. It says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Listen now. So he now calls the man that prophesies, that speaks in tongues and gives interpretation, the prophet. Listen that. Why is he called the prophet? He's called the prophet by what? Functionality. Is that? By functionality, tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah. That means I can receive from fellow believers. I can receive in the garden of believers. Hallelujah. I can receive. Say, I can receive. So how do you receive? One, you must honor everybody in the church. Honor everyone. A man who does not honor cannot receive. Honor. 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 Hallelujah. Honor means I see you in your position, how God sees you. I see you as who you are. I value you. I don't underestimate you. I don't say you don't know how to speak English. I don't say you don't know any. No. I see you as a man of God. Amen. I see you as God's prophet. Hallelujah. I honor. Hallelujah. I must walk in love. Both in towards the one that is receiving and the one that is giving. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, now where Paul majored there on love. Love envieth not. In love there is no strife. Hallelujah. There's no strife. There's no strife. How do I receive? I must walk in the Spirit. Love. Hallelujah. I must walk in the Spirit. That is, I must walk in love. I must honor. Romans chapter 12. Verse 10. He said, let's esteem others higher than us. Esteem. Esteem others. Hallelujah. Esteem others. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to call our attention to something this week. We're going to listen to the message on intelligent things to do before a Holy Ghost meeting. Before and during the Holy Ghost meeting. Remember I said in the Holy Ghost meeting, you don't keep quiet. Right? You're not moping around. You're speaking in tongues under your breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are connected to the flow. We have that teaching. You are connected to the flow. There's a plug-in. Always. It's not just for believers meeting alone. Always as a believer, you must be connected to the flow. And how do you get connected to the flow? Speak in tongues only. Speak in tongues only. Hallelujah. You come for a Holy Ghost meeting. I'm a blessing. No, there are words you see. Hallelujah. No, no, God, I'm going to show that guy. I will show the guy one. No, I'm a blessing today. Hallelujah. I edify today. And I'm being edified. I receive from that brother. I receive from that sister that will sit close to me. I receive from that brother and that sister that the Lord will have me receive from. I will not lose out today. I will be a blessing and I will be blessed. Hallelujah. And then you speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues under your breath. Hallelujah. Let's speak in tongues under our breath. Everybody, just speak in tongues. All of us will end this meeting together. Let's speak in tongues. Go over that easier. First, the seat to Frater Kisa. Let's speak it on. Speak it on. Let's speak it on. I'm going to give us. We're going to move together. Hallelujah. And each one of us will prophesy. Will give us the interpretation of your tongue. Just speak it on. Speak it on. Speak it on. As a church, we want to receive. As a church. As a church. Hallelujah. Just speak it on. Krasa sata fada fada kis. Fada 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 fada. Sisi tu pote kis tu pote kis. Kosi sisi fara tasu tu fata kis. Rasul sata fala hila mana kala kusi hila ba. Thank you.